when he opened your eyes to let you see just how blessed you are. It's not like the world. The world, even in the shape it is, they don't know how good they got it, especially this country. They just got piles and piles of stuff given to them and handed to them. And still going just as far away from God and as hard as they can get away from God. And for you to have your eyes open to realize just how much abundance he has poured out on us with this message. Not talking about the worldly, our goods and our house and everything else. I'm talking about this message. To know, do you know how rare it is to have a people on this earth right now that is happy and is settled in Christ? I mean really settled in Christ. When the world over, they're in turmoil everywhere you look. They're throwing their presidents out and running them off. Our Congress is about to come apart. It's the biggest mess. This whole world is going nutso. Brother Branham said Laodicea is the people's age, people's rights. And they have went so far into that, every individual has his rights that nobody can get along with nobody, and nobody loves and cares and respects for it, people. To have our eyes open and to know that in the midst of that, Brother Branham said, in the midst of gross darkness, light springs up. Yeah. And to recognize that light that sprung up. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we can recognize the light that has sprung up, Lord, in gross darkness. And there's no way we could have done that on our own. Lord, we're so glad you opened our eyes. So thankful for the word that we know. So thankful, Lord, that it means so much to us and that we hold on to it, hold it dear, Lord, counting it more precious than anything. And Father, we pray you'll help us tonight to know a little more spiritually, Lord, to realize just a little more how blessed we are in this hour. Speak to us, Lord, from your word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I have to excuse my work clothes. Trina had stuff, but I stayed in my study till the last minute and... So, I'm sorry, but I've been looking at this. I had this quote where Brother Branham talks about the bride back when Jesus was resurrected, how that all the ones that went with Jesus, and he said, the entire body would have went then if that was not typed with Eve having been deceived. And that quote and many more that goes with it, I've been looking at that, and it'll get into, I'm not going to get into it tonight, but I wanted to go back through this tonight before we look at that. And If you get a chance sometime, you should go and listen to this message, which was the morning message, and then the evening message, which was look away to Jesus, and then the next message he preached in 64, which was Shalom. And that's basically what we're going to do tonight, but we're going to do it in an abbreviated function, and there's a lot more in there, but I just wanted to go back through that and show you how very clearly he's showing that the church has blacked out, that Christ has left it, and that he's shown it in three different ways, and it's vindicated, it's taken place, and at the same time he's talking about there's a man here who can turn on the light. Now you think about that statement. Go back and look. If you listen to that message, look at what he says when he brings this title. He says, he admits, it's a little odd to bring this title. And it is, if you think about it. He didn't name anything close to this, like this. But there is a man here that can turn on the light. And this is at the same time that Sister Simpson brought him the paper. I think she brought him the paper this day that this happened. That he preached this message. But he was preaching this message before he knew about the eclipse that they were saying was coming. And even then, he didn't know they were going to take pictures and show it like it was with it blacked out. And so God told him to bring this message when he told him, and he brought it when he was supposed to bring it. And then the message that night, he declares about the third pool. You know, we read in the last service where Brother Ram talked about this is the start or the beginning of your new ministry. Okay, and right here he says it's the vindication of it. So let's look and see what's going on here. Luther's manna would not work for Methodist. Methodist manna would not work for Pentecost. Pentecostal manna would not work for today. Now, if I could count, I haven't tried it before, but I bet you, we don't bet, but you know what I'm saying. He says that at least 100 times in the message. He points that out. Why does he keep pointing that out to people? He ain't pointing it out because he wants to argue with you about what happened back there. He's pointing out what happened back there because he wants to show us something now. And he does it over and over and over talking about this. So he says, Pentecostal manna will not work for today. See what I mean? Every day it come, day by day fresh. So God's continually moving. Remember what Brother Brown said? He said he looked back, I think it was in 64 or 65, and he looked back and he said, for 20 years now, there's not been a denomination. And a lot of people were like, you know, how's that possible when he was preaching some things before the seals that he preached different after the seals? This is it. Every time. See, when the pillar of fire moved, Israel didn't discuss it. They got up and moved. Wherever the pillar of fire moved, they moved. If Israel had ever stopped, they would and not moved with the pillar of fire, that would have been the end of it. They would have been denominated. See, they had their own idea. I want to wait until this happens or that happens. I got something planted. I need to wait till I can harvest it. I can't move yet. See, any little excuse to not do what it says do. So here he's talking about it's day by day fresh. And so has it through the church ages. Luther's manna was the message for justification. Wesley's manna was the manifestation of sanctification. Pentecost was the restoration of the gifts. But this is introducing the headstone. This is something completely different than any of those. But this is introducing the headstone, the last day, the bride tree, which is contrary to all of it. It's contrary to all of those. Amen. Yeah, it's the same life passing through, but it's contrary to all those. Now, isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Did it come through all those, but this is contrary to all that? Now, listen to him explain it. The third tree, now that's the church ages, right? So we got something that's contrary to the church ages, which is contrary to all of it. And yet it's the same light for the matured. Like the same sun today will be ripening the grain for the harvest in July. See what I mean? But the light today won't do any good back there in July. It's stronger. The wheat is more advanced. It's ready to take it. The wheat. The bride is more advanced. She's more ready to take it. Amen. Certainly is. They couldn't take it now. It can then. Then he stops and fixes that. The season wasn't right then. It is now. The season wasn't right then for that message that's contrary to all of it. But it is now. A vision is what? The word of God or something foretold or forecast of an event And a vision that the prophets had, and Jesus had, Paul had, and all of them tell of this day, this vision that they had, that Jesus had, Paul had, the prophets had, that tells of this day, was a forecast of what would happen. So we all know about the weather, right? And we're talking about a forecast that doesn't fail, whereas the weather fails all the time. They try to tell us if it's going to rain tomorrow, and sometimes it does, and sometimes it don't. Well, the prophets and Jesus and Paul is like that, but it's perfect. It's a perfect forecast. Was a forecast of what would happen. And here we see the forecast being manifest. What they said would happen this day, Jesus, Paul, and the prophets, we see it taking place. Not waiting for it to take place. We don't hear preaching about it. And that's all. We can see it taking place. That's what he's saying. And people don't even recognize it. See what I mean? Look here. Did you ever notice the sun, S-U-N, has traveled east to west as it's went each time? Did you notice it? Notice that. And notice the church ages did the same thing. What the sun, S-U-N, started in the east. And civilization has traveled with the sun. God's spoken light for them to live in. They've come on following the sun, see where it was going. Life itself, when you are born, is like a sun. So he's giving you a bunch of different ones as they travel through maturity. You go on right on to the setting of the sun, from the birth to the setting of the sun. Man has traveled westward. Always. The oldest civilization we have in China is China, in the eastern countries, Jerusalem. And notice she keeps traveling westward as it goes, and as it goes on and on to the west. So has the church age traveled the same way by the S-O-N of God. So he's given us all these different ones. It's going from east to west. Look, Paul, the early church, started in the east. It went from there, jumped across the sea, over into Germany. It's made three poles. Look here, from Asia, down in Philistine, it jumped across the ocean to Germany. That was Luther. And it jumped from Luther across the English Channel into England, that by Wesley. And from Wesley, she's jumped to the west coast to the United States. And this, if you go any further, it's coming back east again. This is the evening time. So this is the gospel, the word. He's telling us that you set like the sun. The sun travels east to west. He's telling you that at the end, that's when the maturity has come. And that's what he's pointing out. This is the evening time. This is the maturity. Now watch. As it went forward, it grew stronger and stronger. And so has the real little minority of the church growed from sanctification, from justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now to the coming capstone. This thing that's contrary to all of it. Shaping itself up. No more organizations after this. There won't be no more. See, can't be. See, we're on the west. Just to show you, now he's preaching this. This is, and he's going to preach that night, and then the next night is the eclipse. And then just a few days after that is when he preaches Shalom. He talks about the light is here in the midst of the darkness. He takes that scripture and talks about gross darkness upon the people, yet the light of the word. He's doing all this before that. He's doing exactly what God told him to do. Just to show you through all types and everything else, and look at those three jumps, three pulls. We'll get into that tonight, see, how we're at the end time. The sun has traveled like S-O-N, S-O-N like S-U-N. The church has come the same thing from the seven church ages, and so forth, Civilization has moved right on to the West, and the church has moved right on to the West. And now, if we go any further, than what we are now, we come back east again. You leave the West Coast, you go right back into China and Japan, right back in again, 7,000 miles across. Now he's talking about the Pacific Ocean, going from California to China, 7,000 miles, give or take. Now, I went and looked up that eclipse, and I didn't know this. But that eclipse, when it was 100%, when the moon was completely blocked, there's always a time or a place on the globe where if you were standing there, you could see that total eclipse. And sometimes it's not on land, sometimes it's out in the middle of the water. That one was right in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, right between California and China. Mm-hmm. That was that eclipse. Mm-hmm. And he just got through saying, mm-hmm, we've gone, if we go any further, we go back west. It's at the end. Mm-hmm. And this is the eclipse that Brother Branham says takes place right before the Pope goes back. Now we're going to hear what he says about that here in a few minutes. 7,000 miles across, you go right back to the east again. So east and west has met. That's all of it. We're at the end. There's nothing left. The light of other ages only reflected this light. This light is now. And earlier in this message, he talks about the darkness and light springing up while the darkness is in the middle of the darkness. The light springs up. That's why I want you to go read the message, the whole message. There was no way I could read it all. See, the sun today only reflects, is a reflection of the sun that will be this July or August. If God, for the harvest, and the son of Luther, and the son, comma, of Luther, Martin Luther, and Wesley, and Sankey, Finney, Knox, Calvin, Moody, all them others, them great men back there that had those light, and John Smith and the Baptist Church and Alexander Campbell and the Campbellite Church and so-called Disciples of Christ and Christian Church and whatever more names they got for them. All them men back there in their ages was only reflecting what it will be here at the end. Only reflecting. Now you heard Brother Branham talk about types. So many times he talks about this as David being a type of Christ. And you look how many ways David was a type of Christ. I was just listening to in this same message today. He was talking about how David, when David was thrown out by his son, all those Gentiles came to him. And when the Jews rejected him, when the Messiah come and Jesus came on the scene, and they were rejecting him, who did he turn to? The Gentiles. There's so many types. And so, but that wasn't Jesus back there. That was David. And that was Gentile people coming to him. It was a type. It wasn't Jesus. It was a type of Jesus. And this is what he's saying here, that those in the age, they were just reflecting this other. All of them, he said, all them men back there in their ages was only reflecting what it will be here at the end. What's here at the end is what they were reflecting. So what is the moon doing? It's reflecting the sun. And these are just reflecting what will be at the end. So what will be at the end is not a reflection. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not a reflection. It's what they were reflecting, what will be at the end. He's telling us stuff in this message, in all these messages. The Lord just hid things all in there. And until he ripened, until we ripen, you know, you think about us trying to do this back when 5 years after Brother Holmes started preaching. You think about us trying to understand a lot of these things. Brother Holmes kept bringing stuff and bringing stuff, you know. And every time I get up here and talk, I know whose shoulders I'm standing on. I know these brothers that have went before me and are still preaching. Brother Keenan, Brother Don, these different ones that are preaching. Brother Goomba, Brother Holmes. We're all standing on their shoulders. We're standing on what God done in their ministry. Because if we're standing on their shoulders, we're no better off than anybody else in this world. But if we're standing on what God done in their ministry, it's something different. And then, here, the children, immediately after them founders, what did they do? All those men he just listed off. They didn't stay on the stalk. They pulled away from it and made themselves a little husk thing out there, which you get away from the real source of life, you have no life. You take a husk off the thing and plant it out here in the ground, it'll lay there, lay down and rot. And so are you trying to eat rotten manna from back in them days. The harvest is ripe. Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed by ripened food of the day. Ripened food of the day. That's what they're fed by. Not by reflection anymore. Not fed by reflection anymore. Even though it was the same light that they were reflecting, this is not a reflection anymore. If you don't get anything else I say tonight, remember that this message was not just a reflection. It was the light. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed on ripened food of the day by the gospel light that vindicates and proves that he is here today. The gospel light vindicates and proves that he's here today. Amen. The saints eat the bread. The saints eat the bread that he's proved. Amen. If you only knew what that, the very little hole that was on the wheat at the beginning, if it abides in the grain, it makes the grain further. That's the very thing that makes the wheat flour, is what was yesterday. But if it separates itself from the grain and it don't mature, remember what I said, if Israel left that pillar of fire, ever decided not to move with it, they stop. If you ever separate yourself from the grain, it don't mature. Then it goes away, see? But if it goes through the process of life-giving process, as it dies out to just blends it to something else and makes the grain. The other has to die, and it blends into this grain. And Brother Bram uses that word, blends and fades, a lot. Fading, faded. And we'll get into that some more on Sunday. Just blends into something else and makes the grain. If it isn't, where does it come from? Amen. You get it? Like the Queen of England, once she went to a great paper mill company, and she said she would like to see through the paper mills. So she wants a tour. So they showed her the paper mills many years ago before they went to making it into pulp and stuff. And so they found making papers out of it. So they, well, after a while, she come into a room that it was nothing but a big old pile of dirty rags. And she said, where did those come from? This come from? What's this? Oh, she said. And the president of the plant said, this is what we make the paper out of, these dirty rags. And she said, that paper? Remember what he said, this today is contrary to all that. When the life moves through that, all of it becomes husk. The paper, the make paper, yes, So she couldn't hardly believe it. So after she was gone, the man took the same dirty pile of rags and run them through a certain process and brought them out a clean, pure paper, you know, that had been went through a process and made real, and put her profile in it and sent it to her, reflecting herself in this, that what she called dirty rags. Now that's what it is. Now that's what it is. The dead things of yesterday, the message of Luther, the message of Wesley, the message of Pentecost, the dead things. If it can only go through the process of God's Holy Spirit and the word of vindication, it'll bring forth the reflection of the Jesus Christ, the King. Amen. But if you leave it to lay, it's dirty rags, see? It's got to be molded into something else. You can't take one of them. See, that's what he was saying. I know y'all have heard all this a bunch, but I needed to read it for you to see some other things. It's got to be molded into something else. Luther has got to be molded into Wesley. See, Luther had to be molded into Wesley. Wesley had to be molded into Pentecost. And Pentecost has got to be molded into Christ. That means none of them was the Christ. They were moving through. Christ was moving through that. They were a type. We know that. If it wasn't, then they wouldn't have died. They would have been the seed. The life moved through them. It goes through a process. So has the gospel gone through a process. It's processing Luther's age of justification. We believe that. Wesley's of sanctification. We believe that. The Pentecostals of the restoration of the gifts for the Holy Ghost. We believe that, certainly. But mold it all together, what do you come out with? Jesus. Any of those by themselves is not Jesus. But I'm talking about oneness now. He's bringing it through all this. He said that Eve couldn't come to him back then. He couldn't call for her. She wouldn't recognize him. She's got to recognize him when he calls her. And he's not coming to her until she looks like him. What do you come out with? Jesus? Right, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, it'll come out with Jesus. When a man in a foundry is making a bell, he's got a certain tone he has to put in it. And when he's setting his mold and pouring his iron, he puts in so much brass and so much steel and so much copper. Why? He knows just exactly how much to put in to make, give it the right tone. And that's what Jesus has done by his bride. He's done it. He's known how much to put into each one. He had to put so much in, so much Luther, so much Methodist, so much Presbyterian, so much Pentecostal in it. But what does it come out? His own reflection. And today the church ought to be Jesus Christ in action upon the earth. Because I live, you live also. My life will be in you. The works that I do, you'll do also. See, the church has got to get to that place too. And he promised it would do it, and it will. It's got to come that way. So you see, that's what takes place. We got to be that way. He is the light. Now, going on down in that same message. Here not long ago, a minister was saying that he was down in Florida and he had a car, I believe it was a Chevrolet, and the thing went out on him and he couldn't get it fixed. And he went into the garage and a little old mechanic was going under it and over it and pecking around and couldn't get it fixed. And he would try this and it wouldn't work. And he'd try something else and it wouldn't work. He put on a generator and put on this. Now you think about this type that he's bringing. Put on this and put in the plugs, put in points. He's just changing parts because he don't know what's wrong. Remember what Brother Ram said in that last message there? How he pointed out that if you don't know what to expect in this hour, then you're not going to recognize it when it gets here. And this man's just punking around. He don't know what he's doing. He just couldn't make it out. Finally, a nice-dressed man stepped up and said, "May I give you some advice?" And the little mechanic had sense enough to say, "Yes, sir." He said, "You take this and times this and this and put that together and once and try it." And he took this, times that, and put it together, and there she went. The little mechanic turned around and he said, "Say, who are you?" And he was the engineer, General Motors chief engineer. He made the thing. Men went around it. They've made a mess of it for years. But when God gets a man in his hand, like he got the prophet in his hand, then he could straighten it all out. Say, "Who are you?" He was the engineer, General Motors chief engineer, and he made the thing. He was the one that designed it. And today, we're talking about Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. The chief mechanic is here. See, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, the one playing around on the engine, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to get it to run. The chief mechanic is here, the designer of his word, the man who created the heavens and earth and designed his church. Does he know more about what it takes for the rapture? Or does, look how all of a sudden the rapture has become the engine in that analogy. Does he know more about what it takes for the rapture? Or does the Methodist or Baptist church know more about what it takes? He is the designer. He knows what it takes. He is well dressed in the power of his resurrection. Well dressed. The man was well dressed. Hallelujah. He's walking among us today in the power of his resurrection. He knows what it takes to put a church in rapture order. Look how quick he jumped to the rapture. He talked about the capping stone earlier. He talked about it not being all those, it being all, you know, Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, but being the Christ himself. Now he's gone to the rapture. He knows what it takes to put a church in order. He designed it and put the parts together here in the Bible. Amen. Just let the current flow through it. Now watch it operate. And what did we find out when the seals come open? Brother Bram said when the seals come open, that the thunders sounded. We know that. And where were the thunders hidden? They were sealed up in the Bible. That's what Brother Bram said. Didn't say they were written. Said they were hidden. Amen. Just let the current flow through it. Now watch it operate. Let faith in his promised word of today flow through. You'll see how it operates. Why? He designed the thing. He designed his church by the word. That's what he puts together. Not by Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal organization, but by his word. Man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yes, sir. Every word. In those ages, they didn't live by every word. They all through all of them. I mean, Wesley and Luther was not baptizing, right? Luther thought they needed to kill the Jews. He was smoking his cigars and everything else. They weren't living by. But in order to live, it's by all. And you see why those were reflections. And this is, they were reflecting what's going to be at the end. Get out of them glares in the midst of darkness. Now he's putting all the denominations in the darkness. In the midst of darkness, this dark time that we're living in now, just got about 5 minutes more left. In the midst of the darkness, who is going to bring the little bride out? Who knows about it? The chief designer. A while ago he said, who's going to bring the rapture? Who's going to bring the bride out? Who knows about it? The chief designer. Oh yeah. From all the confusion of glare, he's going to take her out of it. All right, so this is the message that night. Let's look at it. And I missed so much in that message, so if you should really go listen. And if Christ lives in me, the works of Christ you'll do, right? It's got to be. And what is Christ? The Word. He said, if ye abide in me, my word in you, then ask what you will. It'll be done. Remember what we talked about in that last one about Brother Branham had a question about that very verse. And God showed him. Because the word is there. Just needs the light. And the light makes it live. Now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long. For at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer. And that was in 59 that I read that quote from this last time. The third pull has now been vindicated. And who knows what vindicated means? It means it's been brought to pass. Brother Ram said that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. The third pull has been vindicated, and I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that. You can impersonate a reflection all you want, but you're not going to impersonate the sun itself. There'll never be an impression of that, because it can't be, see? It cannot be. No, it's in existence. And I have warned of this, that soon, right at this time now, it's just happened. I am warned of this. That's what he said. I'm warned of this. Who warned him? Right at this time now, it's just happened. Isn't this something that he's talking about this? Right before that eclipse. Right, remember what he said in just a couple of months before this in Souls That Are in Prison. What did he say? If he's left the throne, then the message to the Gentiles is over. Go back and read that, Souls in Prison sometime. Right at this time now, it's just happened. I mean, brother and sister, we got those things laid out for us on the tapes. Even those titles are the anointing of God that he put on those. And he laid them out right where they were, not so that we could just go listen to them and not think about where and when he's saying it. It meant something. I am warned of this, that soon, right at this time now, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you, see? It's just happened so it can identify its presence among you. But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything can be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. Amen. Are we waiting for that to happen? Or did we see it? He said we was going to see it. Did they mash him out or not? Look at the last year and see how many places he preached that weren't the businessmen. He went to the businessmen in different places. And Jeffersonville. And the one time there in Los Angeles where they walked out on him there at the end of the service. I think the press was on, and it's still on. Now, you might see some little odd things happen for me. Nothing sinful. I don't mean that, but I mean something odd that the regular trend. odd to what the regular trend, because where I reach to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here, watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. But it's going to be used. And everyone knows that, for as certain as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you'll think real closely, you who are spiritual, as the Bible said, here is to him that has wisdom, the third is properly identified. See, we know where it is. See, the third pull is here. So, the next night, the eclipse takes place. And that's the one I was talking about where you could only see the full moon eclipse in the middle of the Pacific. If you pull it up, you can see it. Lunar eclipse of 63. Did any of you see the paper where they took the pictures of the moon? I have it here. If it ain't a perfect image, leaving out the seventh church age, which is not yet exactly the way I drawed by the Holy Spirit, the church ages. That's the six of them. The seventh is not finished yet. The six conditions of the moon, now in its brightness, in the first church age, dark in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, just the way the Holy Spirit let me draw them on the board. And then identified with himself on the wall of the tabernacle 2 years ago, the moon reflects itself, and science again picks up the picture of the church ages, just as they picked up the light yonder and put it in Life magazine of the opening of the seals, of the revealing of the age of the seventh angel in the days of his ministry, the seventh messenger, the mysteries of God, which all the mysteries have been along the ages, should be revealed and made manifest. It should be at that time. And he did it. His words don't fail. Isn't that a mysterious thing? God drawing in the heavens the same thing that they hold. Same God let me draw on the blackboard, and then by himself. That's three times he's perfectly identified it. Just before the Pope goes into Jerusalem, which was the church. The moon is the church, represents the church. And before the church, the shadow of the world crosses the moon. And shadow of worldlyism, the shadow of worldliness, worldly church, has swept across to black out the entire light of the Bible. The world got in the light of the reflection. Do you understand? The world crossed in the light of the moon, the church. The world got in the way and completely blocked the sun from the church. And the reflection of the moon that's supposed to be giving light to the earth, it was blacked out. And it came in and drawed the pictures just exactly like it did by inspiration before it happened. Now, that I believe Sister Simpson was the Tucson paper. I don't know if Sister Simpson knew. She didn't understand it then. She said, I cut out some pictures for you and some notes out of the paper. Handed it to me. And I thought, something strange. And I went in there and picked it up and looked at it, and I said, there it is, just exactly, see, just what I've been looking for. So he's been expecting this third one, this third vindication, and there it was in the paper. Sister Simpson might tell you what paper it's in if you want to see a copy of it. And she said December the 28th. It happened on December the 30th. They may have printed in the paper on the 28th that it was going to happen. Maybe that's what it was about. It's the December the 28th. And what say it's the evening edition. See, before he went to Jerusalem to block out its light, or what access it does have, what time, position, and what rights it has to shine, Now it's cutting it all off altogether. For the last age, the seventh church age, where she goes into darkness, what a great thing the Lord is telling us. In everything, it's never failed, but what God in the heaven has declared it and told it and looked to it and here has identified it and vindicated it, that it is the absolute truth. Darkness, this Laodicea church age. Now, when Jesus was in the Word, which is the Word, in the Laodicea church age, was on the outside of the church. When he was on the outside of the church. Now, he just got through telling us in the other message about the things that they prophesied, that Jesus prophesied, Paul prophesied, and these different ones. We're seeing them take place, he said, already. And that's before this happened. Knocking at the door, trying to get in. Darkness, gross darkness upon this people. Because he's out. If he's put out, there's no light there anymore. Remember what he said in the Church Ages book about walking amongst the candles in the churches. They put him out. Darkness, gross darkness upon this people was the Bible, right? The perfection of the scripture, glory of his great name. The Pope's visit was a sign of the churches blackening out. His manifested, the manifested light of the world was the Bible. Jesus said he was the light of the world. Now he's telling you what it's going to take to black out the church. It's going to take Jesus, the light of the world, not a reflection, to black it out. The manifested light of the world was the Bible. Jesus said he was the light of the world. The Bible said that he is the Word. And the manifested or vindicated scripture is the light. The interpreted word for today. Not what's just being preached, but what's being brought to pass. Scripture is the light. Now, and it's not a reflection. It's the light. Remember what up there a while ago he said, the lights, and it was a little L of the light, capital L. Now you're not permitted to do it. Now, you'll not be permitted to do it when this takes a hold. And we've seen it foreshadowed, told by inspiration before it happened, foreshadowed by the moon. And it shows it happening. And here it is taking place. The hour is upon us. Darkness, gross darkness, gross darkness on the people now. That's what it is. Now. Not going to happen. Now. What does it all mean? Where are we standing? What hour are we in? How close are we to the coming? Well, you say, when all they have a revival, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. All right? Not a revival. He's going to give you the kingdom. What does it mean? God has begun to separate the light from the darkness. And what does it say? And he's going to do during the judgment. He's going to, right as the judgment, before it takes place, he separates the wheat from the chaff. God has begun to separate the light from the darkness, see, pressing it behind, like he did in the beginning, to show the dawn of a new day. This light is showing a new day when it presses back the darkness. Like it did in the beginning to show the dawn of a new day. The church ages are fading out. They're going away. Pardon me. The church ages are fading out. God is pressing the darkness into a place. It has to do it to fade out the church organizations. Fade out the world. The world is covering the thing over. And worldlyism has took the whole thing. Then Isn't God right? By worldly things and worldly dressing and worldly acting and worldly living, it's the world. He's typing this with the eclipse now, letting the world get between them and God. And he says it's fading out. He's typing it with that eclipse. This all was happening not for just us to talk about. It was happening, taking place. Because it was just 2 or 3 months later is when he threw the rock up and says, thus saith the Lord, judgment will strike the west coast. You're not of the world, little children. You are of heaven. This is not your home. Why should I look to us older people, try to look back and get young again? Why we want to get young again here when we're just going to get old again? We're looking for way more than that. Why should we look for a revival when we can have the kingdom? We can't do that. But we're looking forward, not looking back. Looking here, what has been, and we want to know what's going to be. And we're looking for that hour, pressing for it. Amen. What did Brother Branham say? The people will be doing, they'll be looking for that hour. They'll be crying for that hour and praying for that hour. They won't just be sitting around having a big time in the world. They just won't do it. Now, I need to correct something I said in this last message. And it's not really correcting it, but it is. So let me pull this up real quick so I can get this quote. All right. You remember last time when we were talking about there in 59 where Brother Branham was tempted? That Satan put a couple in the church there and they were kissing and stuff. And the voice spoke to him. Let me read it to you again real quick. Hang on. I got to find it. Okay, so he said, something said, say blindness, it'll be blind. Say death, they'll pack them out. Say what you will. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. And it just left. I thought, God, what must I do? And I turned and he stood there and his face was white looking at me. And I thought, what must I say? Then I turned and looked. Like before I knowed what I said, I forgive you of your act. And it must have been the right thing to say. Now listen, it was God trying a reaction on an action. So I said up here where this voice was speaking to him, it sounds like that's Satan tempting him. But Brother Branham didn't say that. I said it, but Brother Branham didn't say it. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether that was Satan doing that or if that was God telling him those things to see what he would do, to test him. And I'm apologizing to you for having said it was Satan because I ventured without authority, which was exactly what that scripture was about. Not to do. Okay. And so I felt checked on it when I got home and I couldn't figure out what it was that I felt checked about. And then she mentioned something and I said, oh, that's it. That's it right there. I don't know what that voice was. If that was God letting Satan talk to him or if that was God talking to him. I don't know. I don't have a right to say. It doesn't change the point that we were trying to make. The point was we were trying, but I didn't want to let that go, okay? So I'm full of mistakes. I don't do them on purpose, but I'm full of mistakes. And when the Lord points it out to me, I come back and I fix it best as I know how, okay? Okay, so that's the only thing I can tell you. I can't believe that people can be in the pulpit for years and years and years and never make a mistake. But, I mean, Brother Branham made mistakes, and the Lord told him. And then little things like umpire and empire and stuff like that. But my point is, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it when he didn't say it. Okay. I try to never do those things. So let's stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you guide us and you lead us, and you've anchored us, Lord, in the truth. And Lord, that as your seed, we know and believe, Lord, that you will get your word to us. You will bring it to life, Lord, and bring it to pass. Just as we read tonight, Lord, how the prophet was pointing out to us that you were doing that very thing, Lord. The prophet seeing those things taking place. And Lord, the prophet said a lot of things about the bride. And we believe, Lord, that you see those things. And that you're the one that engineered it, Lord. And that you're bringing it to pass. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we can just trust in you. Put our whole trust in you, Lord. There's nothing greater than that. People walking through this world, Lord, trusting themselves, trusting some other man, trusting some carnal something, Lord, or not having any trust at all, just walking in chaos. Lord, how privileged we are to have the message. And Lord, to have the strong rock it is, the refuge to run into, Lord. We're so thankful for it. Pray you'll go with us this week and take all this sickness away, Lord, that is bothering each one. And take us, Lord. Let us step a little higher. Lord, meet us in that prayer closet. Lord, may we each one be there looking, Lord, for you to feed us every day, Lord. You feed us every day if we'll be there looking. You take care of the birds and all the animals, Lord. And Brother Branham said that man was not made to fend for himself. And Lord, if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we're looking for you to fight our battles. We're looking to just stand, Lord, for you and stand for that word as you bring it to pass, Lord. We're just trusting in you, thanking you now, and asking your grace for us this week. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.